So as we go through the program, we'll talk a little bit more about how you decide what therapy to give. This man got acalabrutinib, obinutuzumab, actually on a trial, but now that's approved and commonly used. Another BTK inhibitor would have been ibrutinib that could have been considered. Venetoclax would be another possibility, all these with and without anti-CD20 agents. But maybe we can focus a little bit more, though, on what happened to him once he got started on treatment. Robin, any tolerability issues? How did he feel?
He actually did pretty well. He did have some common side effects of like the headaches, and I think he had some mild nausea, which we weren't sure whether it was related to the therapy or not because it didn't continue throughout treatment. But otherwise, in general, he actually started feeling better, which was encouraging to him, and it helped him be a little bit more active and less anxious.
Anything you want to say about these images?
Yeah, so these are his baseline images back when he was first diagnosed. Maybe on the left, you can appreciate on the CT imaging, the axillary adenopathy and a bit in the retroperitoneal area and in the pelvis. At that time, a PET scan was done as well, just to rule out any potential for Richter's transformation or large cell. And of course, as you can see, that was negative.
Before we go on to the case, just real quick, Brad, what is Richter's transformation and why is it important to know? So what's it got to do with the PET scan?
Richter's transformation is the scenario where the CLL transforms into an aggressive lymphoma, usually diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. It's a bad complication of CLL, and our typical CLL treatments don't work very well for Richter's, and they need to be treated more like diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, and often even those treatments don't work terribly well. Sometimes the presentation of the Richter's is patchy, so a patient might be developing a Richter's, but it might be in one nodal group or maybe just in their spleen, but not in other nodal groups. And so to prove Richter's with a biopsy, you have to biopsy the right location. That's where the PET scan can be very helpful because the SUV will be much brighter in the locations with the Richter's transformation than in the lymph nodes with just the CLL.
And you can see here again, when he was first diagnosed, he had a white count of 56,000, almost all lymphocytes, as most of these patients. It looks, Robin, like you can see where the arrow is. On the left, there's a big lymph node mass. On the right, it's gone. So it looks like when you examined him, Robin, could you feel it shrinking down?
Yes, that was pretty cool. I always am happy when I can see the patients before they start treatment, and then I get to see them after a month or so. It's always fun. So
we could talk a lot about all these cases, but again, we're just going to focus on a couple issues and your slides. And I, again, recommend people to check out your talk where you go through every single one of these things. But maybe we can just pick out a couple of points that you brought up to him when he was about to begin obinutuzumab and acalabrutinib. And then maybe chat a little bit about kind of how he developed. You mentioned he's very anxious and how he's been coping with this situation.
Sure. So when we start people on any oral medication, and certainly when they're on a clinical trial, we have them meet with one of our pharmacists, and they go through any potential drug interactions to just make sure they're not on, that we can avoid any strong inhibitors or inducers. Let's see, other things that we do is you tell them how to take the medication and just the possibility that there might be side effects such as nausea or rash. As I mentioned earlier, a headache is something that they might see. As it shows on this slide, acalabrutinib is typically very well tolerated. And that's one of the things that I really try to stress to patients, especially somebody who's never been treated, because they're anxious and they're worried about that. And especially in an anxious gentleman, you want to make sure that they know they're probably going to be fine, but there are some things that they need to be aware of that we're going to walk through with them. So the first thing is the bleeding tendency that can be seen with the BTK inhibitors. So we let them know that they might notice that they're bleeding or bruising a little bit more easily. They might develop petechiae. Certainly if they're going to have any procedures, for instance, he ended up having a dental procedure while he was on this, and we had to have him hold the acalabrutinib for 3 days before and after, and then he didn't have any complications. The headache, as I mentioned, typically we have them hydrate well and make sure they're taking some caffeine. And if that doesn't help, it usually is very well managed with acetaminophen.
So, Amy, one of the weird things I heard when acalabrutinib came out, initially I thought it was just sort of anecdotal, and then I kept hearing everybody say it. was that this headache that usually, I guess, is more in the beginning goes away with caffeine. Is that your experience, Amy?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So it's usually acetaminophen and caffeine, and patients can manage through it. It's hard for people who don't drink coffee, but usually people have a vice with a Coke or a Pepsi or something, but you can work them through it, definitely. But it's not overwhelming. I've never had to stop or dose reduce anybody for these headaches. So they really are quite manageable. And then they do cycle out.
In Miami, we use a cafecito Cuban coffee, just a little tiny shot, like about 3 cc's of that will do it. I guess just to finish up with this case, Robin, here's a young man who is facing this diagnosis of a disease that really you can't cure, but certainly can treat. Kind of curious how he reacted to the situation, kind of what these pictures are all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as I mentioned, as he went through treatment, he actually was feeling better. He still had his baseline symptoms of the arthritis, but in general, he was feeling better as his lymph nodes shrank. And as he could psychologically see that he was improving, that really helped his quality of life as well. So he loved to travel and he loved riding his motorcycle. And he literally would travel to Europe, and we had to work around his schedule sometimes. In fact, I think when we first started treating him, we had to wait until he was back from a trip. So here's a couple of trips that he sent, pictures from when he was on a trip that he sent.
Interesting. And we're going to move on now and talk about our next topic. We're going to get more specifically into the new agents. This man received an agent that's only been approved in the last year or so, acalabrutinib. And there are a bunch of other new agents that we're going to talk about, and then go through another case of patients who've gotten this therapy.